or they try to.
Ladies and gentlemen, musical chairs is on the air.
Artists, songwriters, instrumentalists, producers, sound engineers,
and anyone else in the arts.
Thank you for joining us. On this episode of Musical Chairs, we have a new guest who's sure to entertain and inspire you. Hear their story, feel their passion, and join them in their journey as we put them in the chair. Now please welcome your hosts, Lisa Berry and Eric Lambier.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Musical Chairs.
I'm Eric Lambier.
And I'm Lisa Berry.
And we are your co-hosts for this episode of Musical Chairs. And this one's going to be a little different one.
Yes, because we're not only your co-hosts, but we're also, we put ourselves in the chair.
We are the guests as well.
And because just as the intro says, we have artists, songwriters, everything. And that's what we are. We play those roles all the time.
We do that all the time for sure. So we're going to touch on that. But I just want to say that we're glad to have Lisa here. She's had a little rough week. So we're glad to have her here. She is in the middle of a big move, right, Lisa?
Yes.
Big move. And then had the flu. All of that thrown together has been really a little bit of a rough week, but you always persevere like you always do with your bright, sparkling personality.
Oh, look at me getting sympathy. I love it. No,
Sympathy, it's all good.
It's all good. Well, thank you very much. You know what? I love that Eric pulls through. Eric actually is an active musician. You play every single weekend. And so for you to come and do the show on Mondays, I always think I'm so impressed by you to just keep it going.
Yes, for sure. But it is Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
That was before
we even moved our show date.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
But we are definitely here every first and third Wednesday at this point. We're hoping to expand at some point.
Yeah. I'm glad that you said that. That's actually really, this is all meant to be, right? You know, because we did start off on just one Monday every, once a month, and then we got to move, just like I moved, right? We move and we expand and you grow things. And there's a reason and a way how people do that. And that's what we're talking about today is expansion and how do we get there? And you wanted to share some really cool things about it.
Exactly. It's all about changing and growing and apparently being flexible.
Yeah.
Is a good word, I guess. So, but flexible in the way of as an artist. Growing from when you start being a so-called artist, even at the very, very beginning, when you first touch your instrument, that, and then going from that, what the journey it takes to get from that point to being a songwriter, to being an artist, and hopefully at one point making your living off of being an artist.
Yeah, and we're learning there's so many different roads you can take. And as you could tell, that was a live piano. We are sitting at the piano. So today's going to be super fun. There's nothing more better than live music. Live music just gets to you. It gets in you. It makes you move.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of interaction with the right artists and the right people. I mean, it's one thing to sit and play your instrument, but when you feel that interaction, as we've talked about with artists that have been on our show so far, it's the interaction between you and your audience, be it one person or you're playing to 100,000 people.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same feeling.
It is. And see what the listeners, whether it's just one of you or a million out there.
Hopefully there's a million of you listening right now.
Yes. Now, Eric, you've always been a musician. This is how you make your livelihood. This is your life, your passion. You work with so many artists. When you first, I can interview you now for a second here. Oh,
I'm in the chair.
You are in, you're on the bench.
Out in the chair, hold on.
On
the bench, though, right?
Yeah, on the bench.
The piano bench at the moment.
Well, so you've been doing this for, like you said, all your life. Now, when you first started practicing playing the piano, learning how to play the piano, would you have called yourself a musician from day one?
I guess so. I don't know at that point because I was so young, right?
Oh, right.
I mean, honestly, I started, my mom said when I could walk to a piano. Actually, we didn't have a piano at first. At the very first, it was more of an organ, I think we had, which I used to drag that to parties, and my parents they would come home with dents in it and things like that.
Oh my
they didn't really weren't keen on it first, but this piano, oddly enough, that I'm playing here,
Mason.
The Mason and Rich I have, is actually The first piano I ever got when I was about 10 years old, my parents bought it. I got to choose it. Went and checked out about three or four pianos in different people's houses, and this one was in in the basement of a house. So, and then just glad to touch on this.
Right.
It was weird because I was playing a retirement home last week, and the man that actually owned it and sold it to us was there. He's 88. He came up to me, and he said his name.
Oh,
his name is Walter Pierce, and he said, I sold your first piano. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's a good story. Yeah. Oh, and it's an upright, and she's beautiful, and she's a good old girl.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a little out of tune. It's always, you know, it's a little honky-tonky. But that's what's perfect, you know.
You know, having a good story about the instrument you, and maybe your instrument, maybe you're a songwriter, so your instrument is your pen, your paper, and you get comfortable.
The instrument has to be inspiring.
Yeah.
It always has to be inspiring. So you got to love to play it. If things are hard to play, it's like anything. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to do it.
Well, there comes rewards with it. So I know you. I've known you for 20 years. So you do love the piano because you sit at it often and you'll just sit there and practice and learn
and just do your thing. So yeah, we wanted to touch on practice a bit today. And I mean, a lot more of your practice, I think, is at the beginning of your career.
Okay.
When you're first learning, you obviously have to learn your first note, your first chord. And then, well, it depends on the instrument, what your first chord would be, right? Like piano is more based off a C, I think, when you first start, because all the white keys.
Happy chord.
Right? Yeah, the happiest key in all the keys, Mozart said, key of C, actually. I think, you know, that's how you first start, is just a note at a time or chords at a time. And you practice more, and then it depends on what your proficiency level is, your technical ability is. And then obviously it gets to a point, at some point, if you want to be a songwriter who just plays, you know, the general five chords, you know, kind of thing, then you don't have to go higher technically in that regard, but you'd have to go higher, I think, lyrically, and then obviously be able to write a melody.
Right.
To go with your lyrics. If you want to get into, say, jazz or classical, you're going to have a higher technical ability. Dexterity is going to be a big part of it in your hands, obviously. And with jazz, I don't know if I mentioned the jazz part. Jazz is even, I found jazz even more difficult than classical. Because,
yeah.
You know. Do you know what song that is, Lisa?
That's Dave Mike.
And what movie?
The movie about the prince.
Snow White.
Yeah, exactly.
1933. So there's my version of jazz. I don't profess to be a jazz musician. I studied it for a year with a friend, and I thought my brain was going to explode.
Yes. No, I want to highlight this. All the listeners out there, if there's any, Erica's been playing for years and years, decades and decades, and you know what? He decides, I really want to get better at playing jazz. I really want to take this on. So he practiced 4 hours a day. I remember when you did this, and it was for weeks that you did, a couple weeks, and then you also took lessons.
For the jazz?
For jazz.
Oh, for months.
Yes, but you practiced every 4 hours. Like you were so committed, and that's impressive. And that's actually something that I feel people should hear, that it does take that time. And your hands, did they not hurt? Like my hands would have hurt.
Well, you can get to that. You got to learn to play technically that you try to avoid that kind of thing.
Right.
But they can for sure, because it's constantly walking.
Yeah.
And so you have to learn to play proficiently, technically properly, I think, because if you're holding your instrument wrong, you're going to get tendonitis issues.
Have you had that issue?
I've definitely had it in my right hand. I had to learn to play over again. The big thing for me was I had to go to a specialist, and the first thing he asked me, what kind of keyboard am I playing? And at that time, I was playing a lot of plastic spring keyboards. He said, get rid of them, play a weighted action.
Hmm.
The reason being, because the spring ones, and I'm not going to knock spring ones, I have a Nord, which is actually spring. Now, granted, I don't play on it all the time. I use it for more organ and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, with springs, they become uneven after time. So you're going to put uneven pressure across your fingers, and that creates tendonitis in your hand.
Oh.
The other thing was, because you're playing an electronic keyboard, you can only hit it so hard. With a piano, I mean, you don't want to bash it too hard, but I mean, if you play too hard on an electronic keyboard, it doesn't matter. It won't go past the point.
Right.
So the biggest thing for me was stop being so aggressive.
Mm.
And then sit properly. Sit in closer. I also had to go back at 19, even after having my ARTC in piano, and go back and actually I took more technical. I just learned scales, how to play them, practice the crossover points, arpeggios, and just proper fingering. Also keeping your wrist straight, that kind of thing where you put a penny on your wrist to play up and down so it doesn't fall off.
Oh, neat.
Stuff like that.
And you can't put lotion on your hand and cheat, make it tacky.
No,
the penny
put tape on. No.
Cheating won't get you very far, actually, when you're trying to practice a skill. You know,
and bounce a glass of water on there or anything. That would be a good one.
That's and for Eric's next trick. Next trick. All right. And so one little thing, too, because we're going to have you play some things now. You also used to warm up your hands in hot water, no?
Yeah, that was more after I got the tendonitis. You can do that, too, is warm up your hands in hot water.
Okay, you never want to play with cold hands, because you had to play gigs outside in the freezing cold, like when you did the Christmas tree lighting. And
yeah, we did that with the Elton John tribute, and that was I was really questioning why, and it was rainy and gross in November, and it was horrible. But the other thing with practice, like once you get past the practice, if we can just real quick here, is find your favorites. Who are your favorite artists? Mm-hmm. And study your favorites. Like I think Michael Jackson said, you know, study the greats and then be better than them.
Ooh.
You know, if you can. And if you can't do that, a lot of times the journey can be made easier by having either a teacher. And some people had parents that were just so into such good music, they could steer you in a direction. And you went, well, I just had my dad's record collection or my mom's this. But if you don't have that, a teacher can really help you with that. They can cut through a lot of the crap that you really don't need to listen to. If you're, say, studying jazz, this kind of stuff, or whatever music you're into, they can turn you on to different musicians, different artists that are good for you.
Who are some of your favorites?
Oh, I have so many favorites. But I mean everything from, you know, rock stuff and stuff like the Elton Johns and the Billy Joels and all those.
You do them all, yeah.
Right through to, you know, my jazz favorite, Chick Corea, Oscar Peterson, like my favorite piano player. There's a girl, her name's Hiromi, check her out, H-I-R-O-M-I, jazz pianist, who's just flipping amazing.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, she's really, really good. So, you know, Earl Hines, going back to Art Tatum in jazz.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's blues artists. I mean, I like a lot of guitar, but, you know, B.B. King, obviously. You know, the new, like, the Joe Bonamassa, this kind of thing. So, and I like country artists, Merle Haggard, right up through to some of the new artists today. You know, depending, Brad Paisley, one of my favorites. Listen to that guy play guitar.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it'd be great to have him on the show.
All right, Brad, come on.
Come on, Brad.
Yeah, got you on the show.
That would be amazing. So, you know, find your favorites and study them and do what they do. And then look into how did they get to that point. I mean, if it's not, you got to get out in front of people one way or the other.
It just really sounds too like when you're talking about finding your favorites and doing the hard practicing skill, it has to like be inspiring. And I love that you're saying that because the listener hears it. You know, when you finally get out there to play for people, I mean, you lift people's spirits, and that's what musicians want to do. That's why they're out there. And when you're writing your songs, that's why you write the songs you do. You want to tell a story and...
Tell a story, yeah, and then you bring people in. Not everybody's going to like you. I mean, the first thing you have to learn musically when you're playing is not everybody's going to like you.
Ah.
And you're going to have people wherever you are. Hopefully, I mean, if you... the way to get around that, though, I find that's more if you're trying to be an artist and play clubs where people are there not ready for your music. So let's say you're a jazz guy, now you're in a rock club. You know, you might get a few people that like it, but I'll tell you, you'll get a lot of people who don't.
Right.
And you really want to avoid that.
Yeah, you want to feel good.
You want to feel good. And you want to, I'd rather play for 10 people who like it than 100 that don't.
Right.
Right.
Well,
so,
you know, one thing is, I just, when you started playing ragtime, you remember you were practicing ragtime back in the day. And I was like, gosh, that makes me happy. Like, it just, that's it makes me happy.
Yeah, it's and exciting, fun music.
Yeah, you can throw a little bit in there if you want. Woo!
Kind of stuff, or you know, this song was written in 1899 actually. Scott Joplin.
Oh,
how's that?
Yes, but oh, wait, the next part.
Oh.
Wait.
A whole other section to it. And you know what's interesting was I was looking at that yesterday, and on YouTube you can actually find it's actually Scott Joplin playing it.
Oh.
But somebody recorded it on one of those player piano rolls back in 1906.
There's the neatest thing. You know, that song right there, and we're going to have to sneak away to commercial break, but that song you had to play over in sections because there's just so many different parts to
it. Oh, yes, and then slow it down.
Yeah.
But I love that. That's also called, that's ragtime, but there's stride piano. That's what I was going
to
talk about.
Ooh,
song
but we won't be able to right now. But
right.
We can.
It's going to come back and
yes.
Talk about that.
And you guys will want to come back because we are going to have Eric play one of his really cool songs that it's like.
A funny song.
It's a funny song.
It's a very funny song.
Singing and playing and dancing. So we'll be right back and we'll have some more live music.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Om Times magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are
the
inspired
and
the inspiration.
Imagine tapping into a power where you could access the ability to transform your views of money, success, happiness, and fulfillment. A power that you could unlock hidden talents, uncover new meaning, and amplify the significance of your purpose. Well, the feminine heart is the source of that power, intelligence, insight, and understanding. Join this new wave of women's leadership that's emerging. Be the woman who knows her greatest power to create goes well beyond the day-to-day striving for results. Be the woman who knows her true power to contribute to the world in significant ways is one that expresses her heart, enlivens her creativity, and elevates her spirit. Rise, amazing woman, rise. An amazing woman legacy book compiled by Marsh Engel, sharing the 8 essential powers of the feminine from 8 influential mentors, entrepreneurs, and changemakers that will help you tap into that power. Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. Your legacy begins by leading with a feminine heart.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Musical Chairs.
Welcome back, everybody. Hello, America.
Hello, hello. I'm your host, co-host, Lisa Berry.
And I'm the other co-host, Eric Lambier.
We're just really happy that you guys are here today because we're just having fun. We're in the chair ourselves, but Eric's on the bench, lies behind the piano.
I'm in the bench, or on it, at least. Yes, yeah. I am so. And it's a little bit of a rainy day out there, but we're having fun right here in my living room at the piano.
Yes, I love the liveness. Now, we're talking about everything from songwriting, the journey the artist takes, basically, from picking up a pen and wanting to write some lyrics, or to sitting at the piano or taking the guitar and strumming and just seeing what pours out, because it's all about creation.
It is all about creation. It's all about flow, letting things flow. And of course, when you're a kid, when you first, their first note you hit, you know, and you go, wow, that was cool. What about that one? Where am I leading? You know, or how it ever works. It is about flow, and if you love what you're doing, you just flow with it.
I love that you actually just played that all, and you just inspired me to share this. You know what? Who doesn't learn heart and soul? And you know why that's so much fun? Because another person can sit down at the other end of the piano, and then they start doing their thing, and then you have this collaboration.
That's very true. You know what? That's very interesting to bring that up, because that's probably the first collaboration you do.
Yeah.
But then with songwriting, what I've learned over the years is collaboration is king.
Yes.
Or queen.
You don't want to do it all alone. Yeah.
It's a king or queen. Collaboration's big in all like Nashville. When we lived in Nashville, and as far as L.A., New York, anywhere you can collaborate.
Yeah.
If you look up, if you're listening to Katy Perry and Aurora, look up who wrote it. I think there's five writers.
I know, it's nice. We don't know these things. There's so many. Oh, share some of those fun things that you were telling me earlier. Who wrote, you might not know, like with Crazy, Patsy Cline.
Oh, like Crazy. Now, that's a good old story. Was, you know, a lot of people probably know, but I'm not sure if they do. It's written by Willie Nelson.
Crazy.
And he sold it for $100.
Yeah, like
he kicked himself for that. But Willie, thank you very much for all you've done in your life, because I gotta say, he's added so much to music, Willie Nelson. Another one, which you might not know, people know Janis Joplin, Bobby McGee. Well, it was written by Kris Kristofferson, who I'm not sure of his level of proficiency of guitar, but he strikes me as somebody who's probably a strummer and can write great lyrics and melodies, and might not, and no, please don't quote me, we don't want any bad fan mail. I'm not sure if he has more proficiency than this playing, and that's a beautiful thing to have, because all of these people, where Willie Nelson plays, amazing.
And one guy we should totally talk about, because you do a whole tribute to him, Elton John.
Elton John, there you go. Bernie Taupin?
Yeah, he's the writer.
The lyricist, mm-hmm. And Elton John's more of the melody. But Elton's a great player, too, and he played back in the day with Long John Baldry. He went on, obviously, to write a whole lot of hits.
Yeah, so collaboration really is where that it can take you to so many different levels. So don't always think you're going to be by yourself or alone.
Exactly. It's better to collaborate. If you can't do it as an artist on your own, I mean, a lot of single artists, you'll see them being paired up with a lot of different writers. Just take your favorite artist, whoever that is, and go look at the writing credits.
Yeah, learn a little bit about them.
Go on the net, and you'll see it. Most of it's collaboration, unless you're a genius, you know, or something like that can do it on your own.
Well, speaking about writing, now, this is a song. We want to play a song, but, you're going to play a song that you wrote, but you actually did write all of this on your own.
I did write this on the own. And this is an interesting thing. I just want to tell you about the story about the song. But I did ask I needed a third verse for it, and I threw it out. And this is interesting. I threw it out to three writers that I know that are writers. And you know, not one of them came up with a third verse. So I had to come up with it myself. I really wanted one because I felt like it needed a third verse to do some completion and to finalize it. It was interesting how sometimes you throw it out and you don't get back. So sometimes you got to just, you know what it is? You got to do it yourself. You know,
and songs do have timing. We're going to talk. We have a surprise for you later in the show. We're going to play a song that I sang and what we co-wrote years and years and years ago. But it is actually rather timely. But speaking of this one right now, sometimes a song has to have its own time to shine.
Yes, true.
And so you felt that this one is this. It needs to shine.
It needs to shine right now.
Yeah. So tell us about this one. I'm going to share the title. It's called Fat and Happy.
Fat and Happy, and they call it the plus size anthem. That's what I call it, just on a bit. It's written, honestly, it was first written because, I'm a little older and I packed on a couple pounds. So, you know, nothing major, don't get the wrong idea. But it was written because of being teased a little bit. But it's really meant, and this is how it kind of came about for me, is just be you and be happy about it. You know what I mean? So that's how I kind of wrote it, and that's why I said the plus size anthem. Just be who you are, and don't let people put out your light. Shine your light.
Yeah. You know? And you know what? It's not about that we're saying skinny people aren't happy or that all fat people are happy, which is really, I love that you shared that, Eric. It's that, whatever makes you happy, and, you know, that's my biggest thing to support in life is to be happy and feel better. And so it took me at first, the song when I heard it, I went, Eric, you can't sing that. And he's like, no, I can. This is why. I said, okay, well, as long as we let people know. And then it's that. But it's a really awesome song, well written and funny.
It's a funny song. It's meant to be funny. It really is.
Yeah.
And just to go, I mean, I'll start with the lyrics now.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody, here, let's enjoy listening to Eric Lambier on the piano playing his song, Fat and Happy. Happy!
Happy than skinny and sad. I don't gotta worry what's on the bed. You wish everything, oh, and that ain't bad. Hey, are you movie stars? And keep your diet fast, cause I'd rather be fat and happy than skinny and sad. French fried potatoes really make me smile. Scalloped bacon, mashed up bacon together in a pile. You can thank the French for all things poutine, they know where it's at. You better bring along a defibrillator in case of heart attack. Hey, I'd rather be fat and happy than skinny and sad. I don't gotta worry about some of it. You in everything, and that ain't bad. Bless all you athletes of faith, all that fat. But I'd rather be fat and happy than skinny and sad. Buffet, much to their chagrin, should see their faces. I fill the space when I come rolling in. As I headed up on my fourth plate, well, you should have heard the wail. Oh my God, he's double fisted, high as a lobster tail. I'd rather be fat and happy than skinny and sad. I don't gotta worry what's on the menu. Is everything? Oh, that ain't bad. Love all you models and your airbag photographs, but I'd rather be fat and happy than skinny and sad. Cause I'd rather be better than me than skinny and sad. Yes, I'd rather
power was calling in you everything. And that ain't bad. When the bear is brown, this will be my epitaph. Cause I'd rather be better than me than city is dead. That's right, I'd rather be better than me than city is dead. What is it? I'd rather be better than me than city is dead.
Thank you, Lisa.
Oh, and I always say leave it to Eric to fit in the word epitaph.
And epitaph is that, and defibrillator.
And defibrillator.
How do you put that in a song?
Well, so that was the third verse that you had to come out and forget yourself.
Yeah,
it?
That was third, yeah. But what I want to touch on is the first couple there. And, you know, I wrote the chorus first on that song. And it was, you know, and if you notice, every chorus is different. There's the first ones of the movie stars,
yeah.
Sorry, movie stars. And then bless all you athletes that are doing it. The models, I love the models, don't worry. But, and then the epitaph kind of thing. So, but then the first verse is more about French fried potatoes, all about potatoes, because, you know, I like French fries. Everybody does, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, chip truck fries or poutine, Frank. Thank the French for all things poutine. They know where it's at. You better bring along a defibrillator in case of heart attack. It's kind of funny.
And especially, I'm sorry, there's a restaurant that came up in the States, U.S., right? They, what was that restaurant? They had this attack.
Oh, yeah, in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's called the Heart Attack Grill.
Yes, and we thought this would be a great song for them. So if anybody's listening. But...
Yes, if you ever get that to the Heart Attack Grill, I got to tell you, in Vegas, I'd love it to be their theme song. And then I wanted to say that a friend told me that that's where the second verse came from. A friend had told me that they would go to a buffet and they were, problem is the people had lobster tails on it, but all they would eat was lobster tails. And so he said after the third plate, they went back up and all they saw was people scurrying, hiding them. So I thought, you know, that'd be a great verse because it's pretty funny. Right, that kind of thing. So
finding the humor in it all. I love that. Yeah. That's the story.
And then the last one was about, I know some people want to jab and tease, you know, but I'll order up more chicken wings and hold the salad, please.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Because tonight I'm on a mission, and my mission is quite clear. I mean, I like to have a few beers, so, you know, sit myself down at the bar and have another beer.
Because you're so happy.
Because I'm fat and happy. I'm not that fat. So that's how that kind of song came along. And we did call it the plus size. And it's meant to be a fun song for everybody.
And, you know, these are things that you never know what's going to, like, what topic is going on in your brain, in your life right now. It's usually something that you're thinking about all the time. You think, oh, I should write a song about that, or what's going on in the world, or, you know.
Yeah, this one just rolled off the tongue, so to speak.
Roly-poly.
Oh, that was a
your corn and taters.
That's an old country.
I love that song. But, you know, and it's what brings people joy. You know, I've seen people's reactions when you're playing that. I mean, the tune is fun, too.
I get requested. I got to tell you, by the time the third verse comes around, people are, on our third chorus, people are actually singing it, even though.
Memorable.
Yeah, it's very memorable. Kind of song. So.
That's the thing too. You know what's funny? You listen to any popular music out right now, and they only have a few lines. I mean, there's a lot of words in there. She's telling a really good story.
Yeah.
But most songs are just very few lines,
yeah,
repeated.
And a lot of repeating, and you know, hopefully, you know, this is more of a story. Blues and country, I think, are more stories. Don't quote me, because some of the pop stuff is too. But I mean, a pop would just, you know, catch a hook and do it a million times.
Yeah.
And then in the hook, you know, do different production to make it interesting.
Now, so tell us where will this song go? What have you done with this song already? Because you went, I like this song. It's got to go somewhere.
I've taken it nowhere.
Oh no,
I'm sorry,
had
this
other
is
people...
the farthest it's gone.
No, other people have played it.
What? No.
Oh.
No.
I thought you're demoing it.
Well, I'm demoing it.
Yeah.
Well, we're not done the demo yet. So we're just that's why I didn't bring the demo to the show.
Right.
So anyway, it's not been done anywhere. So we're hoping to get it out there. We'd like to. I'd love to have it on Disney.
Oh.
Because you always need a picture, you know, maybe a fat character dancing around and stuff. I know. I'm trying not to be politically correct. It's just meant to be fun.
Yeah.
That's all we keep going for. So.
Exactly. No, that's funny about speaking about politically correct, because you and I, you've written and just song and song and song again. And I wouldn't say I'm a songwriter, but I have written a few songs, and we've written some goodies. And
absolutely.
And there's,
and you are a songwriter.
I see, isn't that funny?
Absolutely.
That's what we talk to, is because I don't do it regularly. And I guess there's a lot of people out there who have maybe written a song or a few songs, and they don't really call themselves songwriters. But the back in the day, I guess, wrote quite a few more. And yeah, and there's one song that we're going to be playing for you after the commercial break, of course. But
it's a song that Lisa wrote and she brought to me. And she said, I got some, I don't think you had them. Did you have a melody?
I don't think we had a melody yet, no.
I don't think
you I'm not very
melody.
Good at that.
You kind of wrote, yeah, you're good at melody too, though. Absolutely.
Oh, see, there you go.
So hurt yourself. You're good. Anyway, you know, I'm not sure if you had a melody. I'm not sure. I can't remember. It's a few years ago. But you brought it to me, and as a producer sort of, you know, went, well, that's an interesting tune. And we sat down and came up with a melody for it. And I'm not sure. It's a while ago right now. I think we came up with a couple more lyrics for it or changed a couple things.
Yeah,
I remember it worked. But honestly, this is really from Lisa's heart.
Yeah.
It's a really good song. And somebody even suggested it could be for the Me Too thing. But anyway, because are we going to tell the name
of it? Well, yeah, it's called, it was called Hands Off, Don't Touch. And I'll tell you, the reason being is it was my birthday and we were, I guess we're out at a bar having a drink, and I was just tired. I always had long curly hair, and everybody would touch it, and they would touch my face and try to like touch. I was like, "Don't touch my face!" I hate people touching me, and so I was like, "Oh my gosh, hands off, don't touch!" And I was just frustrated. So here it was funny because Eric's song was written because you know a little bit of in your space, you know, like you're just.
That's what the song's about. It's about being in your space.
In your state.
And especially, and it does touch, we're going to touch on the lyrics a little bit here.
Yeah.
It does sort of say, you know, do you want to go over the lyrics a little bit?
Well, we're going to end up going to commercial in about less than a minute, but yeah.
Okay, but hands off, don't touch. It's, what are the lyrics there?
Well, before we go on the lyrics, what I want to say is that I just wanted to share this part before we can all hear it, but this was written in country style. However, we did a version of it with big band, too. I remember all the trumpets. So sometimes you can write a song and you think it's going to be in one genre, but it actually can go into, well, depending on the instruments used when you produce it, right?
All right. Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember that we did that?
No, not so much.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we're going to scooch off to commercial. When we are back, you're going to get to hear little old me singing a song. Hands off, don't touch.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Yourself and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Mind connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
We'll be right back.
love that intro music.
Well, thank you.
Well, welcome back. You are jumping right back in here with Eric Lambier and Lisa Berry on Musical Chairs.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Back again.
Now we're gonna be able to play a fun, another fun, interesting song called "Hands Off, Don't Touch," which
this is featuring actually your co-host Lisa Berry going to be singing this song, and we produced it together and we wrote it together. And do you want to talk about lyrics or afterwards?
You know what? Let's play it. Let's hear it, and then we'll dive in.
Okay. Lisa Berry singing "Hands Off, Don't Touch."
Played those mind games, been given that look from all those guys. I've already been hooked. They dropped their line. Enough's been said. Let me tell you, honey, that story's been read. You stand too close. You're in my space. I don't appreciate you touching my face. It's unattractive when you stare too much. So listen, buddy. Hands off, don't touch. I've made my choice. I've got my man. Because you can't, I know he can. His eyes don't wander, his lips don't lie. He sends me flowers, that's why he's mine. You stand too close, you're in my space. I don't appreciate you touch my face. It's unattractive when you stare too much. So listen, buddy, hands off, don't touch. Just say hello, maybe yes or no. Just show respect. Don't expect. You stand too close. You're in my space. I don't appreciate you touch my face. It's unattractive when you stare too much. So listen, buddy. You stand too close. Yeah, you're in my space. I don't appreciate. No, you touch my face. It's unattractive when you stare too much. So listen, buddy. Don't touch.
Slap again.
You know, you did all the little fun little things in there. Actually, that was one thing before jumping into lyrics. You really did, you know, when you finally get to go into the studio and you're singing, and then you get to do all the magic at the end there. You add all these fun sounds, like just a really oomph it, you know?
Well, I just added that slap, yeah. So Lonnie then stole one.
Stole a slap.
It's hilarious. So, yeah, but we had some really good musicians on that as well, so.
Well, yeah.
Randy Cook played drums on it. Randy actually plays with Smash Mouth right now. And he's also, I think, the second drummer for Don Felder, his original thing, Don Felder from the Eagles.
Oh.
And lives in Los Angeles. So, Randy, if you're listening, a shout out to you.
Woohoo!
Shout out. So.
And a fiddle player.
Well, we had Dan McGrath, really good fiddle player. My friend Wade Mosher played guitar.
Wade, yay. Yeah, you've got, it's funny how musicians still stick in. You still have all these people in your life, you know. And
oh, definitely. We all have them all.
So for the lyrics, these lyrics are really cool in your writing, because I, you know, at first you're like, okay, I want to say this and do this, but I played those mind games, being given that look from all those guys who've already been hooked. And I was really saying that because I remember back in the day there's all those men that were hitting on you, and they already had a woman at home, you know, and that's where the line, enough's been said, let me tell you, honey, that story's been read. And that was what the story being read was, because
you're already hooked up and you're out here doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's really that song. It's about that kind of thing. You're going to your, what's your chorus?
Yeah, I like this one. You stand too close. you're in my space.
How many people can identify with that? I'm that kind of person too. If somebody's, you know, within their foot talking, you're like, okay, you're gonna move back a little bit.
Well, yeah, personal space is so interesting, and it's funny because what do you say to somebody? Actually, fuck you. What do you say to somebody who is in your personal space and you're trying to back up a little in the non-get?
No, you try to be polite, of course, but, you know, if you have to or move away yourself.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. And then it goes, so you're in my space. I don't appreciate you touching my face.
Unattractive.
Yeah,
when you stare too much.
That's a huge one for me. I remember that. Like, people just, they're staring and staring, but, like, it feels creepy, you know?
You can do that, for sure.
And I put, so listen, buddy, hands off, don't touch.
There you go. But that is such a fun melody. You don't think of it that way, do you?
No. It's a gentle blow. I've made my choice. I've got my man. Because you can't, I know he can. That was just a nice little... You know, I'm letting everybody know, you know, made my choice. I'm done. His eyes don't wander. His lips don't lie. That was a huge one, referring back to the first one, you know.
Being honest and integral.
Yes, we like honesty and integrity. Yeah. He sends me flowers. That's why he's mine. And that's showing
nice
appreciation. And not romantic.
You don't bring me flowers anymore. Oh, that's
wait,
that Neil Diamond song.
Oh, yeah.
And Barbra Streisand.
Oh.
But anyway, it's nice getting flowers, isn't it, girl?
Yes. And plants. We like plants because now.
You might like flowers, too, you know.
Especially, yeah, I bet men do. We should do a little poll there.
Poison ivy.
Yeah.
No.
Everybody, actually, let's do that. Everybody on Facebook, if you like getting flowers or plants, I like plants.
Sure.
Then you can just pop them. If you're a man or woman, we want to find out who likes to get little flowers and plants as gifts.
Sure.
All right. And then I go into the chorus again. Oh, then there's a call from the bridge. Just say hello. Maybe it's yes or no, but you got to show respect and don't expect.
Yeah, just say hello. Maybe yes or no. I like those lines. I think we came up those together there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just show respect.
And don't expect.
Yeah.
Isn't that a big one?
A huge one.
That's a big one, I think. Just don't expect.
Yeah.
You know, where people sometimes, once again, are in your space or they're you know, getting in your way kind of thing. I think it's really important to show respect.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So, and then we're back to the chorus again.
Yeah. So you were a huge help. Some people just know how to fit all that together. Like how much can you veer from this? Like, is there an honest structure that you just got to kind of go with?
Oh, you sort of just, you know, you hear the tune and then pick up a guitar. That's what I think was more guitar oriented.
Oh, I think it was, yeah.
I said oriented. Is that the word? Not orientated. Oriented.
Okay.
yeah, pick up a guitar and because it had a lot of vibe, like more of a percussive shoom, 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 shoom kind of thing.
Mm.
And so it was guitar at first and then, you know, then you start adding, you know, your players to it. And I think in this case, the drums were last, to be honest with you. I think I programmed the drum machine to play with it and then brought in then the bass line. So then I can't remember exactly because it is a few years ago how it went. So, but we brought, as I said, brought the fiddle player, one of my favorite fiddle players of Canada anyway, it's Dan McGrath. He came in and just did an awesome job of the fiddle. And then my friend Wade Mosier on the guitar. And,
you know, that's something I want to ask too, because we were talking about how, you know, you saw these musicians in your lifestyle. That can really make or break being in the studio with people and their attitudes. And...
Well, that's what I was going to touch on before, too. And we never really touched on it, was making sure you find the right people for your song. And if you don't know the right people, then, you know, hand it over to somebody, a producer or a manager who does that, can get you in touch. Because that is a bit of a problem. Because, unfortunately, folks, there are a lot of folks out there who will say they can do something, but then they don't, or they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no shame in saying you can't do a genre of music kind of deal. So, I mean, there's been, you know, there's online studios, which is a bit weird to work with. I've had some great experiences, and then I've had some not so great experiences because they say they can do it. Once again, I've had some of my country stuff done that's been really, really well done. I'm not here to, I won't say any names or defame anybody, but I've had another one where they said they could do certain instruments, and you know what, they couldn't, and you've already paid, and it's average at best, and really you want to pay for great, you know, players if you can, instead of just throwing money in, because the music industry can be a huge money pit.
How much can somebody expect to, like, pay bottom end, top end for a demo?
Oh, well, that's kind of, that's an ambiguous kind of question. You know, I mean, on online studio stuff, you can pay, you know, $1,800, $2,000 by the time you're done. That will include a producer, four or five musicians. It also includes the engineer and the mastering that it would take. So that's basically from start to finish. It all depends. The online stuff can be cheap. Now, if you're getting, you know, some pretty named people in there, it can cost you more than that. But once again, it depends on who you're hiring. If you're going to hire Mutt Lange, it's going to cost you more than $2,000 to record a Mutt Lange. Just in case you don't know, Shania Twain's producer, many other people, Cars, wrote songs, Britney Spears, everything I do it for you, Bryan Adams, all kinds of stuff. So, but you know, you can. I think the importance of songs is maybe do it simple at first. See how your audience is going to like it. Because there's no, you know, you can put out a donut, and if the donut doesn't taste good, nobody's going to buy it. So if you spent too much money on that part of it, then you're going to have problems selling it. So you don't want to have problems selling it.
And actually, that's an interesting thing. So you've done a few albums yourself. So when you, your very first, well, cassette, I guess, you put out a cassette.
Oh, my God. Hey. Yeah. This is not an 8-track.
No, that's true.
My first album was a 78. No, just kidding. So,
but it is fun when you get something in your hands like that, and you can share it with your family and friends at first, and then you're selling it off stage. And...
Oh yes, but your family and friends can be the worst enemy too.
Oh, that's cool.
Only because they're all going to say it's great to a degree, right? But yeah, it's selling it off stage. I mean, today the music industry's really changed. I mean, honestly, some of my friends who've been to college, they don't even look at it the same way as the older folks do anymore. You got streaming services. It's really more about merchandise.
Mm.
It's more about getting people out to your show paying for tickets, you know, as opposed to making a fortune off of playing it off of Spotify but the thing about Spotify and Apple and iTunes, Deezer, all these companies is if you get people involved that like your stuff, they can share it, and that's very important. I mean, they can share it, and now at will, you can play the song any time of the day, kind of thing, and it's a good quality, and hopefully it's cut down on the pirating and getting bad versions of songs, say if the bit rate's not high enough, which makes bit rate meaning it's a better quality.
Yeah, you do want the quality.
You want the quality of it. I mean, there's different trains of thought about the streaming services. I won't even get into that because everybody has their own belief about if artists are being paid. I think artists can be paid in different ways. There's a lot of artists that are worth a lot of money that use iTunes and Spotify and that kind of thing because there's endorsements and everything else that goes with it, you know, or getting songs in a commercial or in a movie.
Yes, and now that's called scoring, of course. You can, or not scoring, no, that scoring was when you do it for the movie. But then you can actually, pitch your song.
Yeah, get your song done in a movie kind of thing. Yeah, so if you get into that, that's amazing. You get into that.
Yeah, we want to pitch to Walt Disney, your song.
And your song, too.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to hear that song, you know? I mean, obviously, it can be used in a lot of places. So.
Yeah. Well, let's do an invitation to everybody. Anybody listening right now who you are a songwriter, you're a musician, and you want us to hear your song, maybe.
You want to be on a show.
On a show.
Contact us. Contact Lisa, I think, is the best place right now on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Right, Lisa?
Yep. Lisa Berry, Berry.
Right.
And
we are developing a fan page, though, so get ready for that.
Mm-hmm. And we want to have some participation and hear from you guys and see what you like about it. And do you like hearing Eric play live on the show? I love doing the show. So we're building up our guest list. I just want to take this last minute to share with everybody that we're really building some people that you might know, that you need to know, that you want to know. And
that's for your outro.
I'm listening. I call this a little.
Okay.
have you play to go out, and I just wanted to listen. I get distracted. It's nice. All right, guys, we want to say thank you for joining us to hear Eric Lambier and his song, Fat and Happy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. And Lisa Berry singing her songs the first time right here.
That was yes.
On
right
Musical
here.
Chairs on Ohm Times Radio.
Ohm Times Radio. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Woohoo! On Musical Chairs.
Thanks, God. Take care.
Bye. We'll be right back.